Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to the Niall and Ian podcast. How are you doing? It is Niall and Andrea here. On our monthly sojourn into new music recommendations, we're going to be talking about, we're getting into summer now, summer sojourn, summer journeys, summer aural journeys perhaps. We're going to talk about music that we loved in the last month. And I don't know about you, Andrea, but I found it very, very busy in terms of new music this month. So much so that there's a lot of albums that when I was going through the list this week, realized I haven't even properly got to or given a second listen yet. So there's loads to go through, and there's loads of albums I'm sure many people have opinions on that we probably won't even get near. Like there's a new National album, which I've been seeing mixed notices for myself.
I put it on today to see if I wanted to include it in my list. Like, I like the National fine, but I got maybe like halfway through the first song and I was like, do you know what, I'm actually just not in the mood for this right now, and I'll end up just not liking it because I'm not in the form for it, so I just left but maybe next
month. I mean, that's it, sometimes you're just not in the form for those kind of things and not in the mood for especially the National. But I've seen a couple of two actual articles which were both saying the same thing about the new National album, that it's kind of getting a bit old now. Or it itself has grown into its oldness, and it's no longer subverting the idea of being dad rock. It is just dad rock. So
yeah,
interesting discourse. But we're not going to be talking about that anyway. No. But what we'll be talking about is I have a couple of albums to recommend, a lot of single tracks. Try to stay on the kind of we haven't featured this before. Brand new discovery kind of vibe for once. Maybe there's one artist here I've mentioned before, but other than that, that'll be it. What about yourself?
I think I've chosen Only Women again. I'm just looking at the definitely artists I've talked about before. One new, a little mix, except the fact that they are all white women. I'm sorry. it's just who I was listening to this month. I didn't have quite the same
I'm not gonna cancel yet.
No, thank you. Yeah, I didn't have quite the same feeling of overwhelm this month because I those months where you just don't really listen to a lot of new stuff and you're just, I don't know, busy, or you're just like, I'm not in the form for a new album today. I'm not in the mood to discover something new. I just want to go back to my old faves.
I'll be honest. I spent a lot of time with Jai Paul this month because of Coachella.
And Frank. There was a lot of like kind of stuff in the news and Coachella and all of that kind of led me to listen to previously released stuff. But yeah, I also listened to a lot of Jai Paul this month. Episode on Jai Paul and Frank Ocean's Coachella. appearances in which Niall goes into the kind of history of Jaipal and who he is and what he's done and why we love him is on the feed. So go listen to
That's
it. That was a fun episode.
That was a fun episode, yeah. Absolutely. And as well as that, of course, last week's AI and music special, because as we discussed, there's just so much to talk about in terms of AI and music at the moment and what's going on. And we actually got a couple of nice emails, one in particular from Alex, who had some interesting thoughts and sharing a tweet from Massive Attack, actually, which makes a salient point about AI and music. I think there's so much more to explore in AI and music that we didn't really discuss. And a lot of it is to do with the kind of moral and creative issues that we didn't discuss. Like, is Massive Attack's tweet was, is the discussion, should AI recreate music? Or is the discussion, why is contemporary music so homogenized and formulaic that it's really easy to copy? Which is a fair point. Because a lot of that new Drake stuff that's been AI'd or like copied by AI or people are using is, it sounds a lot like something that Drake might release himself. And, you know, and there's wider implications about if AI is generating music, whether it can create, you know, new genres or things that we are interested in. But if you're taking from an existing source, you know, is it going to innovate necessarily music? Probably not. And actually, I think we had a bit of that discussion in our Discord as well. Shout out to the Discord if you want access to that. It's patreon.com/909 for $5 a month. Yeah, there was a few questions there about digital blackface. And Colm was talking about kind of, we talked about this before in terms of like creating releases from maybe artists who have passed away or artists who are no longer in their prime. So people creating music out of nothing, and like, what difference is it to find some unfinished artist work or to create something that could be perceived as that from AI? So I think there's interesting things still going on there.
And there's an interesting parallel with the conversation of AI in music and the current the latest in Ed Sheeran's kind of court appearances with the Marvin Gaye estate. And I feel like those two stories this month, like happening in tandem, has been really, really interesting, because will AI end up offering artists protection in terms of you know, intellectual property and, you know, copywriting melodies and stuff. And you're like, well, I didn't write it. It was my AI wrote it. And, you know, it's, and he has threatened or promised, depending which side of the Sheeran aisle you're on, to quit music if he loses this case. So it's one I'm watching very carefully because the implications of it. So that's, also been going on this month. And actually related to the posthumous releases, I didn't read the story, but I just saw a headline that Amy Winehouse, some of her journals are going to be published. And that made me feel icky as well. It's always that feeling of like, remember when those Prince tapes were released posthumously, like all of that stuff. Maybe we'll do like a
Kurt Cobain's diaries as well.
We might do an episode on that later on in the year about kind of posthumous stuff. And because it can get kind of icky and morally gray and a bit odd. And but I think all of that, like, that's it connects in with copyright and it connects in with the potential implications of AI as well. So interesting time. Very interesting time.
I think you put me on to Adam Neely in the first place, did you?
I love Adam.
He has a really good video about the court case and very quickly makes the case. I think it's a really interesting video if you want to watch it. Adam Neely and the Ed Sheeran case. If you don't know, very briefly, you know, how do you describe it? Did Ed Sheeran actually plagiarize Marvin Gaye is the name of the video. And it talks about the lawsuit, but it also talks about how in music we use signifiers and not necessarily tropes, but they become tropes. But, you know, characteristics of different types of music in which to denote a different style of music or to use. In this case, the Marvin Gaye song in question is a doo-wop style or a ballad style. So who owns that style is the question, really, that court case is kind of positing, because can Ed Sheeran credibly, you know, make a song in the style of a whatever genre or subgenre or that has previously gone before? And I think that's interesting to ponder, because even a lot of soul music, a lot of R&B music, a lot of rap music, there's a lot of very repeating patterns and things that we use in music that denote you're part of a club almost. Mm. And it's not necessarily copyright, but when the notes might be exactly the same or sound exactly the same, or the spaciousness of the drums or the way that the fills are used denotes something. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, so if you write a song that sounds, that produces the snare like Metallica did on that album, is it Death Magnetic? Then are you ripping them off, or are you, there's questions around these things.
Why is there so much focus on melody in these copyright lawsuits and not things like timbre, like what you're describing? I know that comes into it, but yeah, absolutely. And also, like, Marvin Gaye didn't invent what he was doing on that track. Like, he was also in conversation with, you know, musical tropes or musical ideas that denote whatever emotion he wants to do. So it's really tricky and complicated. And I know it's very easy to say, like, we are going to run out of melodies, but like, we kind of are going to run out of chord progressions and melodies if we're going to say, like, okay, you can only use these notes in this pattern with this rhythm once without paying that person. You know, it's like the folk revival in the 1960s, like, what would that have looked like? Like, if everyone was just using the same guitar patterns, like, what about, like, just kind of folk music generally? I always come back to folk music on this in the same way that you're bringing up hip hop. It's like, yeah, it's a style, and you're part of a club, you're part of a genre, and you're in conversation with other people. But that conversation, like everything under our kind of current system, it becomes something to monetize. And I don't think that you should be allowed to just rip off somebody, but there has to be a kind of a middle ground.
It's the awkward, uncomfortable truth about music making. When actually Alex Borwick, who is a producer and does a lot of stuff, well, produced one of our favorite albums, actually, Neve Regan's Hemet, among others. So he sent us a very thought-provoking email. But one of the points about what he was saying in the email was actually about what we do as... what people do as artists is they often create Spotify playlists akin to a mood board to get the creative juices flowing, working on a project like an album or searching for a specific iconic sound. He talks about Tame Impala's drum sound, and then later the 80s gated drum sound from Phil Collins. Does Phil Collins own that drum sound? You know, that is kind of the question that this kind of court case is almost positing. It's like, is that what is happening here? Can somebody conceivably own a technique or a style? And that gets a bit more difficult when when there's a lot more money at stake. That's when it gets, when people are way more interested in these kind of things. So thanks to Alex for that email. Very thought-provoking as well. I'm sure we'll return to that at some point. But for now, it's time to dip into our favorite some music recommendations of the last month. So let's start. Would you like to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. My first choice is from an artist called Anna St. Louis, and the song is called Better Days, and it sounds like this.
Catch 'em on the fly. Steady rain pouring.
lovely song. She is a Midwestern born California based singer songwriter who released her debut album If Only There Was a River back in 2018. And Better Days is the first single. I think there's two out now, from upcoming album In the Air, which is out on the 9th of June. And it's just a really lovely folk tune. She describes it as having a lot of sadness, but a lot of hope, which is how I would describe my taste in music. It's kind of straightforward and sweet and allows her really beautiful and tender voice just to kind of carry the tune through. And yeah, just a really nice song that I've been enjoying. I look forward to this album. I think it's very nice.
Okay, great. Already new to me. That's great. And St. Louis. Lewis. Is it Lewis or Louise?
I think that's St. Louis. I think the city is St. Louis, isn't it? Yeah.
You know some of those American places. Which
I know. They're
fully pronounce, or sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. So I look forward to hearing that. I decided my first track for this month would be a band who are playing here this week, because if you hear this in time, you may get a chance to go. They are called Benefits. They are from Teesside near Newcastle, kind of a noise rock
Newcastle
spoken word.
You said that like a Newcastle person.
Did I?
Newcastle, yeah.
Newcastle. Okay, track I'll play for you. The album came out last week. It's called Nails, and it is pretty hard as nails, to be honest. There's a lot of shouting stuff. There's a lot of talk about Sick Britain is the name of one of the songs. There's tracks called What More Do You Want, Traitors, Council Rust, Marlborough Hundreds. This is the one that got it for me. I'll come back and tell you a bit more about it. It's called Warhorse.
There's albion spoiled children aching for fame yet again. They're fucking on the cliffs of Dover on that post-war hangover. I'm basking witless wonder, all this historic racist blunder. And we sit, roll over. Now sit, entitled dribbling disasters. Yet they're not your fucking masters. You are not here for their entertainment. You are not here to make them money. Do not beg, do not bow, do not curtsy. Do not beg, do not bow, do not curtsy. As this means war.
That's a band called Benefits playing Ireland this week. If you're listening Thursday, May 4th, they're in Belfast, Deer's Head, Friday, Limerick in Dolan's, Saturday, Dublin in the Workman. So looking forward to seeing what they're like.
Oh,
Kingsley Hall.
They'll
is the
be
name of
here.
That.
I'm just surprised they're not playing at the coronation on Saturday. I assume they would have been asked.
Yeah, I mean, they got out of the country because, you know, they didn't want to go.
Probably a good idea.
Not like Nick Cave, who was going.
Yeah, I don't like, all right, not to get into it, but I don't understand what's going on. But yeah.
Anyway. Nick Cave has played in Israel. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
he does some mind flips sometimes, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, Benefits, this album was is released on Jeff Barrow's Invada Records, which also releases the likes of Beak, his own band, and Billy No Mates. So that is kind of the vibe. The album was produced by Jeff Barrow after he saw them play in Bristol. Agitpop music informed by Brexit and the divisive nature of modern Britain is all about that. That song, Kingsley Hall says, at some point, if the boot continues to stamp on us, we're going to react. Things bug me. They start as little irks and become fiercer. Take days, sometimes minutes. The phrase cost of living being blurted out by an MP when confronted with the poverty of their constituents, simpering and grovelling to decrepit hierarchical systems, pageantry and pomp in a time of austerity and cuts. Warhorse is a battle. It's about being tired of being told there's no options left, by being told to bow and courtesy and to shut your face. So I don't think they're going to the coronation somehow.
No, so. No. It would be surprising if they did.
Yeah.
And they won't be doing that really weird thing where all the Brits have been asked to, like, no matter where they are, just swear allegiance to the king. That's so weird.
Even if you're in the loo kind of thing.
Like, literally, yeah. It's like Like, remember when we were like, when they were like, the loo, when everyone was clapping for the NHS and it was at like a certain time or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, everyone does it at one time. It's like, I don't know, it seems, yeah, kind of weird, kind of dystopian.
I must ask my Irish friends who live in London what happens when...
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't be persistent betting. But anyway, that was Benefits and Warhorse. So, what do you got?
I like the sound of Benefits. I will listen to them. My next one, okay, I cheated. This didn't come out in April. I'm sorry. I thought it did.
That's okay.
A friend of the show, though he's never been on the show, but the other podcast I host, Juvenalia, Al McGuire, sent me this next song and said it reminded him of the Cardigans, and I agree. It is Biba Doobie featuring Claro, and the song is called Glue Song. It came out in February. I'm sorry. Here it is.
You have to miss me. I guess I'm stuck forever by the glue. Won't you? Stuck by the glue on you. I've been stuck by glue.
So Biba Doobie first played this on NPR last year, I think, and it was picked up by her fans. I didn't see it, but apparently shared around TikTok a lot and was like a TikTok sound, that recording of it. And then she got Claro in and they recorded it together and put it out on Valentine's Day, which is very nice. I like their voices together. They're very different styles of singing, yeah. Very different tones, but they work really, really nice together. I like the little horn bit in the instrumentation, and it's just very like, actually I think a lot of the songs I've chosen today are very kind of sweet and just nice, comforting tunes, just very sweet tunes. And yeah,
nice,
I really like that one.
Relaxing tune, only 2 minutes and 15 seconds long.
Yeah, short and sweet, which lovely. I like. Yeah, 2 minutes, 15 seconds and two people singing on it. I admire that.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so yeah, just a really nice sweet song. I love saying Biba Doobie. Biba Doobie.
Yes, just, I think we discussed this before how much Biba Doobie enjoyed that.
It's just lovely. And Claro's good too, but you know,
yeah, but not as fun.
Not as fun.
But yeah, that's Biba Doobie. Song is called Glue Song.
Glue Song.
So I'm going to recommend an album that came out last Friday first. First of all, I'll play this for some reference because it sets up who the artist is. People probably know this song more than they know this artist themselves. It's a Dutch artist called Tom Trago, and this is his kind of big dance tune.
But you can't make me lose my cool.
That is a song called Use Me Again and Again, samples Millie Jackson's album or song, We Used to Hit It Off. And that's a really good album I have on vinyl, actually. I would recommend it. We got to Hit It Off, which is, you've heard that probably sample a lot.
Yeah.
But that was the original one that was probably repopularized. The track is from, I think it's from 2012 or so. Is it something like 2016 or something? It's an old enough tune anyway. So that's that. But the context for what I'm about to play is a bit different. So this is Tom Trago has been doing other things. He's been living in Amsterdam. His DJ career was, worldwide and doing all that business. And then, but I guess, you know, things change, and this is his sixth album. It's called Deco, and it's much more ambient and much more relaxed. It was actually kind of a desire to create electronic lullabies for his young daughter. So that's kind of where it came from. And the title is called Deco, which is actually inspired by, it's the name of a sauna that he would visit to decompress and detoxify after DJing long weekends and stuff. So that kind of gives you the idea of where this album is.
Why does that make me think of Mattson from Succession and all of the
well, of course,
the Swedes being like, sauna!
Sauna. So, yeah, it kind of just shows you it's kind of a bit of renewal and looking after yourself. He moved to the coast with his young family. Decompression became a much extended period other than the actual sauna that it started in. So this is an album that came out on Rush Hour. I'm going to play a little bit of a track called To Be Left Unlocked. Brief snippet of a track called To Be Unlocked from Deco from Tom Trago. It kind of album came out of, as I said, moving to the country, having his daughter often by his side, making songs, cutting back on DJ commitments to prioritize family life, which is something that happens a lot. I think a lot of DJs who bang it out when they're younger, doofing all over the world, then they go and find when things happen and they grow up and they're looking after another smaller creature, they have to. There, and I think when people get older, generally they kind of explore different things. I think it's kind of it's almost a trope at this point where like the 4/4 DJ comes back making an ambient album and get really into jazz, dad jazz or ambient jazz. You know what I mean?
We saw that actually in our conversation with Richie Egan, talking about kind of relocating and growing up and getting a bit more into like soundscapes and soundtracking, like moments of not isolation but like moments of being on your own and introspection and things like that. So yeah, it's definitely
I think it also has to do with, you know, when you get older, you I think you feel more things. I certainly have that experience of when you're younger, you're less concerned about your own inner workings and your introspection, and you're more concerned with just doing stuff, and you're less concerned or worried about you just have this youthful confidence that allows you to get past and do whatever you want. And then when you get a bit older, you're like, am I actually able for this? Do I want to do this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have that youthful vigor that kind of bodies everything in its way, including any inner turmoil or worries you might have. And a lot of the times people turn to softer music in which to calm their nervous system and their mental health and their brains. And that, it's the same for when people make music as well. So
I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm just so young. I definitely understand that. I feel like my youthful vigor is like dwindling since like the beginning of the past. And it also might be
As in the in the famous words of the Corrs, we are so young now.
We are so young now. But I think it might also be like a post-pandemic thing, a post-lockdown thing.
That's true as well. And that's, that's like fair, because I think
a lot of artists had time to just like figure out what it means to make music, not for like people in the room with you, and just kind of have that like one-to-one, like, it's me making the music and you listening to it on your headphones, like one-to-one conversation with people. And we definitely saw that, like, there was obviously oddly a lot of dance music, like a lot of kind of major label dance music that came out during the pandemic. But I'd say the vast majority of artists who were releasing stuff in the pandemic were doing it like with this sort of introspection and isolation bent in mind.
And as we discussed, that music is still coming out now.
Yeah, for sure.
And,
yeah.
And still unfurling into the world. So this is possibly some of that as well. So that's Tom Trago. Album is called Deco. So yeah, check that out. Not named after a particularly burly Dublin character, just a sauna in Amsterdam. So there you go.
Yeah. Same with Claro. I always imagine Claro being like what a Dublin person would call their friend Claire.
All right.
Claro. Yeah, exactly. So someone else who's had a lot of change actually and now has a child and has relocated to Los Angeles, I think, and also lost her father since we last heard from her 6 years ago is Feist, who has released a new album this month called Multitudes. I have two tracks from it to play. The first one is called Enlightening, and as in lightning. And it's the opening track from the album, and it sounds like this.
I feel what love could be. Truly illuminated, the future does the heat that lights for me.
I feel like she's such a safe pair of hands. I think when we were last talking about her on the podcast when she released the first single from this album, I was saying that like just hearing her voice and her style again just sort of brings me back to just feeling so like I loved her albums so much. They meant so much to me when I was younger. And now being that bit older, it is like kind of returning and like having a conversation with like a best friend who you haven't seen in years. I mean, you could say we haven't heard from her in 6 years or so, but obviously earlier this year, or was it late last year? She dropped out of the Arcade Fire tour, famously after the first night, in Dublin. After sexual misconduct allegations came out against Wynn Butler. So it's nice to see her in the music press for her music again. Multitudes, the album, it's kind of, yeah, like I said, safe pair of hands. It's the kind of thing we've come to expect from her. Very soft melodies, very, you know, her obviously very distinctive voice, her very imaginative lyricism, lovely guitar playing as well. Enlightening, the song we just heard there, is like I said the opener, and yeah, it just has that beautiful harmonies, that kind of strange cacophonous instrumentation that is like the right amount of experimental and the right amount of restrained as well and controlled, which is really lovely. And yeah, the second track I've chosen is one called Hiding Out in the Open, which is just that exact kind of understated, beautiful blend of like soft harmonies that just made me fall in love with her like all those years ago. And yeah, I think it's just, it's one of my favorites on the album. It's so beautiful. So this is Hiding Out in the Open.
Love is not a thing you try to do. It wants to be the thing compelling you. What we should
probably sane. But we should rest, put it off for a few more days. Let's put it off. And anyway, I'll pretend not to hear it until you whisper it in my ear. Hot voice on my neck would change the context. I want you warm as a loaf of bread. I want you warm.
Yeah, so that's Feist, Multitudes. I've not yet to give that a proper listen.
Oh, you'll like it. You'll really like it.
Yeah, I've listened to it once. The origin is it came from a show that Feist did. I think the last time she was in Ireland before that was at the Sounds for the Power Festival, which she's coming back to in September. Did you cut that?
I didn't.
She's playing Cork Opera House on Thursday, 7th of September. So tickets are on sale. When is that? May 12th, along with Wilco, support from Anamika and Bonnie Light Horseman, orchestral arrangements by Bryce Desner, which will also include Anais Mitchell, Eric D. Johnson, and Josh Kaufman. Mary Hickson, the festival director of Sounds from Safe Harbor, is fairly instrumental in Feist's Multitude show itself. I think she kind of helped produce the creative vision to do with the show is it's well so she's been very active in that, and I think that's really interesting. So she'll be back this year at Cork Opera House, and last time she did that kind of, I think she did the Multitude show kind of like, I think the idea is originally where it was kind of like trying out things in front of an audience, and then it got more developed and obviously became its own thing. So it is billed as the Feist Multitude show, so it is on down at Cork Opera House on Thursday, 7th of September.
I've never been down to Sounds from Safe Harbor, but maybe I'll go this year.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great. I did some music trail stuff for them before, which was great. So I'm looking forward to hearing what they have coming up this year. Other than that, there is some good stuff.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There. Okay, my next choice is around from that part of the woods. He's sometimes associated with Cork, sometimes associated with Kerry, and that is kind of the subject of the song, because he's sometimes associated with his Wirral upbringing, because his name is Laurie Shaw. He has over 100 albums, and somehow he has managed to persist with making albums all the time. He has another one coming out very soon. This is all about coming from a place that is neither one here nor there, or one town or another. It's called Satellite Towns by Laurie Shaw. It's 9 minutes in total, so we're going to dip in for a quick listen to some of Satellite Towns.
Drama on the BBC Two. I'm from a little village called Frankby. It's got a farm and a play school, and a dog that put me off them for life. I'm also from Kenmare, yeah I know. Technically I never lived there, yeah I know, yeah I know. Don't think I don't know. Schools and pubs and first bits of love. Spaces where fires start, loin fires for the dominant forces. Figures on the lawn, figures on the lawn, figures in a Sue Tompkins way. Anyway, I'm getting away from myself, as if I've got the time. Who cares about time when there's an infinite stream? An unsatisfied longing for terrestrial TV. They were the best laid plans, now the schedule's in your hands. TFI Friday and the riverboat song means nothing. Did it ever mean something? SMTV Live wonky donkey means nothing. Did it ever mean something? Did it ever mean something? Or was it just a phantom island like Plato's Atlantis, trapped in the amber? Highlights on the high rise, never thinking Jerry would be the first to go. Highlights on the high rise, trapped in the amber.
That's Laurie Shaw, Satellite Towns is the name of the track. As you hear, a couple of choice references to 90s kind of pop culture there. SMTV Live, Wonky Donkey, TFI Friday, Jerry from the Spice Girls, and the idea of living, what it's like to live in a town on the commuter belt, or feel like you come from two places at once. I can kind of identify, even though I grew up in Dublin. I moved to Kildare when I was 8 or 9, and that chasm of of difference between, even though when you're that age, it feels massive. You're suddenly different. You're suddenly different when you move down an hour away to not feeling any different when you're living somewhere else. So I can identify with that. But yeah, interesting. He's a really good artist. He has, it's hard to dip in to what he's doing a lot of the times because he has so much music. So this is from a forthcoming record. But usually when I do dip in, there's always something there. And I think the last couple of years, last year in particular, has been a very creative and fruitful period for Laurie Shaw. The upcoming record is called Dove From Above. So that'll be on it. That's a 9-minute song from it.
Lovely. My next and final choice from this month is from Polly Jean Harvey, PJ Harvey. The song is called A Child's Question, August, and it's from her an upcoming LP, which is coming out.
Eye Inside the Old Year Dying.
Of course. How could I have forgotten that?
Man. Exactly.
But yeah, this is A Child's Question, comma, August.
Tell stories across the corn. The cuckoo will as we fake swifts abandon autumn's ache. What says dark trash or dove? Love me, tender, tender love.
That's Polly Jean Harvey, PJ Harvey. I don't, was anyone expecting this before it was announced? Was there any indication that she had some new album on the way?
I don't think so. I mean, there was the doc a couple of years ago, but I mean, we heard all the music that kind of came out from that. I was personally surprised when I saw the announcement. I quite like this song. It definitely grew on me the more I listened to it. I don't think it gives away a lot in terms of the album. I think a lot of the kind of staples we've come to know from her are definitely here, kind of slow droning rhythms, some like male harmonies in there, a very directness in her delivery, and, you know, singing about tenderness and love is maybe a little bit of a departure, but still has that kind of like slightly strange atmosphere. But always interesting is Polly. And yeah, I can't wait for the album. I love her. We had a very interesting week in the Discord Music League, where we were choosing from, it was like the best song from a Mercury Prize winning album. And obviously, like, she is one of the few artists who's won twice. So I think that there was a big rush to include a lot of PJ in that list, but that's what kind of reminded me to include her. But yeah, really like this song. Looking forward to the album. like I said, can't remember when it's coming out. So maybe that'll be a surprise for me as well.
Maybe.
July 7th, 2023. I Inside the Year Old Dying.
Okay, that's PJ Harvey. My next choice is an album. It is another artist who's playing here, not this weekend, but soon, in September. Her name is Kara Jackson. She's a former poet, U.S. National Youth Poet Laureate, and released her debut album. Do you know when there's, like, every Friday what I do is I go around and I look at what albums have been released, and I make a list and make a note of them for the site. Sometimes a cover, you know, piques your interests. And this was the case with Kara Jackson. It just looked something interesting. The album's called Why Does the Earth Give Us People to Love? She's from Chicago, poet and songwriter. I think the best way to describe some of this music that I've heard from this album, now I have it again, I haven't given it more than 2.5 listens, but it's quite dense and there's a lot of things going on, but it's also quite lovely. It kind of reminds me of, and funny enough, Pitchfork mentioned this in their review, which they gave Best New Music. It kind of reminds me of Joanna Newsom, if Joanna Newsom primarily used a folky guitar instead of a harp. So that's what some
Color
of
it,
and some
intrigued.
Of it's a bit more regular. Yeah. So here is a song called Dickhead Blues from Kara Jackson.
Make a vacation out of you. Damn the dickhead blues. When you're stuck sinking in someone else's lagoon. Like a spoon drowns in a stew. What kind of meal are they making of you? Thinking Cupid calls for you. End of gum on someone's shoe. Makes me feel like I don't have a clue. My dilemma is always a dickhead who's drunk on the daily news. Like coyotes in culottes clawing for coffee and open-toed shoes. I'm no longer amused by losers who find themselves losing me. That's why I choose. I'm not as worthless as I once thought. I am pretty top notch. I am pretty top notch.
That is indeed pretty top notch. That's Kara Jackson. The song is called Dickhead Blues. And I want to play a little bit of another song as well, give you maybe a bit more of a regular idea of that's the Dickhead Blues, the one that brought me in. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And I like that it's kind of moving around in different ways. This song is called Rat from later on in the album.
California calls and buys collars. His waves will behave, so now he doesn't bother. Shook the country from him like a cub clawing its father. Couldn't buy compassion 'cause it cost him $40.
That's two songs there from Kara Jackson's Why Does the Earth Give Us People to Love? Really intrigued by this album. Is playing the Workman's Cellar on Sunday, 10th of September. If it's not already sold out, it should be sold out. But Dickhead Blues in particular was the one that showed me that there was something special going on here maybe, and brought me back. And so I'm still enjoying it an awful lot. And it sounds really cool. I think I found it on Bandcamp originally. But Kara Jackson,
I like
since
the
release, been doing very, Yeah, I've been doing really interesting things and getting good notices. So that's.
Do you know if the Workman's Cellar gig is that will it be just him, or will he have a band, or what's it?
Her. I think it's. I don't know.
That's okay. Yeah, sounds really interesting. I like that.
Yeah, she's from Illinois. So.
She, apologies.
Yeah.
Misgendering her.
Sorry. It's all music time.
Great news, everyone. I remembered, or Niall reminded me in time to include an oldie. So I've done that. But you go first, Niall, with your oldie.
Okay. Well, while my song is old, there is a reason I'm picking it, is because Fridge are a band that Kieran Hebden, aka Fortet, used to be in. They were formed in 1996 by Hebden, Adam, and Sam Jeffers. I actually saw them. One of my first ever gigs in Dublin with a memorable support. I remember seeing them play with Super Furry Animals in the Olympia way, way back. And they released four albums in just their 4 years together. And their fourth album is called Happiness, which was released in 2001. It's kind of got a lot of the early kind of Fortet vibe, you might imagine. It's very atmospheric. They use a lot of live instrumentation, a lot of synthesizers, maybe some hip-hop production techniques. So the album Happiness is getting a re-release essentially at the moment, a reissue. And so that reminded me of this tune that features on it called Cut Up Piano and Xylophone, which I really, really love. Fortet vibes there, but that was the original band he was in called Fridge. A terrible name for a band, but sure.
I think it's a great worse. Name. Fridge. Fridge is a great Fridge. Word. Fridge. I like it.
Disagree. It's okay. Bands can have bad names. It's all right, isn't it?
What about the Fridge? Would you prefer the Fridge or the Fridges?
I don't know. It's like the band Cake. It's just a bad name.
Yeah.
But you can own it. It's fine.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Cake is a bad name for a band. The Cakes.
See, the is just gives it the whole, like, we're trying too hard to do something that's not. Cake is at least, like, so plain based. It's like Bread. That band Bread. That's what a bad name.
Bread is bad. What else is bad?
Bread is bad.
Yeah. Anyway, someone who doesn't have a bad name, my oldie for this month is... Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. Glad you know. I was listening to it yesterday. It's the best song ever. And here it is, in case you don't know it.
You know you can't hold me forever. I didn't sign up for you. I'm not a prison for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be singing.
There he is, Elton John.
It's just the best chord. Like, that when it comes in, you're like, what the fuck is that? It's great.
Has Misty ever covered that one?
No, I don't think so. Oh my God, that would be ideal, wouldn't it? Let me Google it. Made from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Father John Misty, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. No. No, he has a song called Goodbye, Mr. Blue. Damn. But I mean, yeah, The Guardian.
Mention to him next time you see him anyway.
I will. Yeah, the next time I have an encounter with him at a festival and I'm too shy to talk to him. Anyway, that's a story for another day. Yeah, I was listening to the Beach Boys, which I often do. And often when I listen to the Beach Boys, I think I'm also going to listen to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, because it's just that, like, you know, those big harmonies, the big chords, and it's still, like, you know, it hits you every time you listen to it. And the kids on TikTok are enjoying this song, which is so lovely. I really love that. There's definitely a few kind of older tunes that they're finding out about, and gives me faith that they are still kind of, you know, this is their crate digging, you know, trying to getting an Elton John song to go viral, yeah. You know. And the same
is it good if it doesn't go viral?
No, it's garbage. It's garbage. But yeah, same with the Cass Elliot song, Make Your Own Kind of Music. And I suggested to you that soon I will probably do a episode, a little deep dive into Cass Elliot. So I didn't choose that song this month, but there'll be, watch the space for an episode on that.
Okay. I have some honorable mentions in terms of some albums to check out if you're looking for some more recommended listening. Obviously, there's plenty of more of that on 909.com, but specifically if you're looking for albums to check out, it's 199 songs long, but I enjoyed Mac Marco's One Wayne G, or what I heard of it so far.
Didn't even know it was a thing.
Oh, mostly instrumental, really. So you can you could skip the instrumental, just listen to the tracks with vocals, which are all, they're either dated or they have a title. There's one called, was it Proud Toyota or something like that, which I really liked. Jessie Ware's album, That Feels Good. Sometimes Jessie Ware is a bit like too, like, I don't know what the word, like mum disco or something. But
yeah.
I think she mostly gets past that. There's a great song on the album called Freak Me, I believe.
Okay.
Which she has some bangers, even though she manages to avoid the over polite disco thing. It's like there's no, like, it's not handbag disco. It's kind of like,
what's handbag disco?
That's probably an older term. Like, is it handbag, like when, house was kind of the
when
term,
all the ladies, you know, put their handbags in a circle in the middle of the dance floor and dance around it? That's immediately what I thought of. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I've never heard that albums, term before. I like it.
Yeah. Well, handbag house was kind of the term for early 90s, like polite kind of disco music, or like house music. Like
that, so, would, that's a band name.
Yeah.
I like that.
There you go. And then Nabaha Iqbal, she has an album out called Dreamer. Really good. I like what I'm hearing from that so far. Kind of in the same way that Avalon Emerson's recent work has gone from being electronic kind of productions to more shoegazy stuff. That's what Nabaha Iqbal's album sounds like as well. Kind of really interesting. I've covered a lot of the stuff recently on the site, so you can check that out. Also, Ron Morelli's Heartstopper, very much like a classic house style record. I enjoyed that. That came out last Friday. Cork artist, London-based Jenna Keating and Space, a vocalist producer duo, have an EP out called Nine, which is really good. Leah Sen is a voice you might know from Joy Orbison, and also featuring a lot on the website. She's actually playing here with Billy Martin on support in the next week or so. But the EP that I love at the moment, there's two EPs. You of Now, I think it's called, EP Part 2. That came out very recently. Ones to check out if you haven't, David Kitt's new album, Idiot Check. I've been enjoying Kalayla's album, Raven, because she was announced for a gig in August. And then The Invisible, Dave Okumi has a solo album called I Can From Love. A really interesting album talking kind of about the Black experience in the UK. It has a stated ambition of aiming to be a tapestry of the Black experience and explore ancestry, the legacy of slavery, what it means to exist in an unjust society, and Okumi's own family history. Grace Jones appears on it, Eska Quabs, Wesley Joseph, Robert Stillman, Anthony Joseph, and Raven Bush. Really, really interesting album, and also very interesting visuals to associate with that. There's Dave Okumi, I Can From Love. So yeah, loads to recommend and loads to check out. So yeah.
Cool. Reading anything? Any other business? TV, reading, movies?
Not really. Can't say I'm reading much at the moment other than New Yorkers again.
Yeah.
No, I haven't really watched a movie in the last couple of weeks either.
Just Succession, really. Yeah. I have a few books that I read this month to recommend. First is Romantic Comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld. It is a romance book, kind of a rom-com, but I really liked it because it's the main female protagonist in it is a writer at a Saturday night recorded live comedy sketch show called The Night Owls. But it's like the book is in two parts, and the first part is like this SNL type show, and it's nearly kind of minute by minute like run up to the show going live on Saturday night from the perspective of a writer. And she did a lot of research into like the inner workings of Saturday Night Live from it. So it was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. I was influenced by Caroline O'Donoghue, who hosts Sentimental Garbage, because she was singing its praises on her Instagram maybe. And I read it in like a day. So yeah, very nice read. And I read Sophie White's new novel, My Hot Friend, which I really enjoyed. It's about three friends three women who are all having kind of friendship issues. The main girl in it, I think her name is Claire, has some mental health issues that are dealt with like really, really powerfully and really well in the book. I was really, really impressed by that. And then there's another, there's two girls in it who host a podcast together called My Hot Friend. And one of them is like really problematic and always getting them into trouble with like their sponsors and stuff. So like it's a good laugh. Deals with like very serious themes, but it's also like quite fun and funny. And if you like Sophie White's other novels, then you will like that. And I'm currently reading, two books I'm currently reading, both of which I'm really, really enjoying. Annie McManus, when she's a writer. Her new book is out this month. It's called The Mess We're In. It's about an Irish girl who is living in London and kind of lives with a band, wants to make music herself, very kind of music industry, young people. I think it's set in I can't remember. I put it down a few days ago and, you know, when you get jumbled. Yeah. It's set in maybe the 90s or the 2000s, set in the distant past anyway. But really, really enjoyable. I would recommend to pre-order that one. I'm not quite sure when it's out, but I think it's out this month. And then the other book I'm really enjoying is Strong Female Character by Fern Brady, who people might know from her appearance on Taskmaster. She's also a stand-up comedian. And the book is about her experience being diagnosed with autism as an adult woman. And she's kind of like, it's a memoir about like what it was like growing up in Scotland with her very, very Catholic family as an autistic girl, and how difficult it is to be diagnosed as a girl or a woman with autism. But it's like very, very, very funny. Like, so I'm listening to the audiobook because I would listen to her. Like, if you know her, you know her very distinctive, very strong Scottish accent. Like just the most beautiful voice. I'd listen to her read the phone book. So I'm listening to the audiobook, and I would highly recommend the audiobook to people. But it's had me absolutely like howling, but it's also like deals with the topic really well. I think that's it for books. Let me see. Yeah,
well, speaking of comedians, I'll jump in here and just say that TV show on Netflix, Beef, has some great episodes. Ali Wong, the comedian, is it's her first dramatic role, I think. Previously only seen her doing stand-up, and is it Stephen Young as well?
Yes.
Really good cast, and has a lot of interesting ideas, and you're not quite sure where it's going. If you're looking for something to watch, I would recommend that at the moment.
We watched the first couple of episodes of, I can't remember what it's called. It's the Netflix documentary on D.B. Cooper, who is the guy who in the 1960s hijacked a plane, landed it safely, got all of the passengers off except for like the pilot and one air cabin crew. I can't remember what they're called. And then went back up in the air and parachuted out of the plane with the money and was never seen again. So it's about him and the people who are like hunting for him. It's like the doc, like the story itself is like amazing. It like, it's, you know, I'm of the belief that if you do something like that, the FBI shouldn't be allowed to, like, if you do something cool like that. I'm also of the belief that if you rob a bank and get away with it in 2023, you should just be allowed to keep the money. Like, it's fine. But yeah, the story's amazing. The documentary itself is good, but it's kind of that, like, you know, those kind of very formulaic Netflix documentaries that are out now where you can nearly just predict the exact patterns of like, okay, now we're going to go to this person and now it's going to be this shot. And some of the like recreation stuff are like a little bit cringe, but the story will carry it. So if you don't know the story of D.B. Cooper, like I'd recommend it. I've only seen the first few episodes, but it's good. And Harry and I rewatched Julia, which is the, I think it was HBO Max show about Julia Child, the person that was responsible for bringing French cooking to America, and just has like the most beautiful performance by, what is her name? She's the lead in Happy Valley. Yes. Sarah Lancaster plays Julia Child, and she does a better job than Meryl Streep did in Julie and Julia, which was also an incredible performance. But with someone like Julia Child, it's very easy to kind of do a parody of her because she's just such a ridiculous like person. but she's also, you know, just amazing and a trailblazer and all that. It's a very, very, very sweet show. I don't know, there's maybe some parts of it where I'm like, okay, this is maybe a bit twee. David Hyde Pierce is in it as her husband, and the actress who played Lilith in Frasier is also in it. So they're kind of back together in the show. It's really good. It's really enjoyable. If you like Julia Child, if you like cooking, if you like stories about like early television in America, like public access television and things like that, then I'd say absolutely give it a watch. It's very nice.
Very good. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's enough for this month. Some recommendations. Obviously, much more Succession chat in the Discord. And yep. If you want to.
Big shoes. Big shoes.
Big shoes. Big shoes. Did you see that story this week about a song from the Pixies? Obviously, Where Is My Mind is the one. Which was causing havoc for people who have a playlist as their alarm in the morning. For obvious reasons, Pixies' song Where's My Mind starts with Francis Black going, ooh, stop. Mm-hmm. And so the stop was being taken by the Android speaker or whatever device it is as a stop command. So people's alarms were not actually waking them up at all randomly every now and again.
So are these people who had Where Is My Mind as their alarm tone? There can't be more than 10 of those people in the world.
There can't be. Well, I mean, there might be. There might be. It's a famous song and it's well known. But the
as
one
an alarm
particular
tone.
One. Yeah. Imagine waking up to that every day. But no, apparently the person who talked about it and who shared it was actually had it as part of a playlist. and was just really confused for ages because they didn't know why the alarm wasn't going off sometimes.
Okay.
Because they didn't wake up after the first 2 seconds. And they finally figured it out after that.
Do you use a song as your alarm tone?
No.
I need that like grating, high-pitched Samsung, really? like just straight up beep, 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 beep. Like I can't, if I have a song, I'm snoozing down. I'm going to listen to the song and I'm going to go back to sleep. Like I definitely can't have songs as my alarm.
Wait till you get a bit older. Wait till you get a bit older.
Well, now I'm like, I need like.
Because we are so young.
I need
so young now.
I need a team of people to like, God, even like this time last year, certainly for like most of my late 20s, I was really bad at sleeping and I'd wake every day at like 5:30 and I'd just get up and wouldn't be able to go back to sleep. Now I'm like a brick. You cannot stir me. You cannot get me out of the bed, which I quite like because I'm sleeping more. But anyway.
Enjoy while you can. That's what everyone tells me. You know?
Yeah.
Like when you start to have sleep issues, you know, you're getting a bit older, like waking up in the middle of the night for no reason.
Well, I'm hoping that I got all my sleep issues out of the way. And now my sleep issues are that I'm going to sleep too much, which would be ideal. Yeah. I've a lot to make up for. So
yeah.
But anyway,
one more thing to share on the AI stuff. And we mentioned Grimes talking about how she wants people to use AI or was happy to do it. She's registered a website called createsafe.notion.site, Elf Tech, Grimes AI 1 voice print. You can upload pre-recorded acapellas to be transformed into Grimes' voice. Users will upload their recordings and receive Grimes' versions in return. And according to this...
Can't see that going wrong at all.
Yeah, so she is not claiming any ownership of the sound recording or underlying composition. So best of luck with that one, Grimes. Songs can be uploaded for distribution to DSPs via Elf Tech for $9.99 a year. What? It can only feature on that platform. That's what she's saying.
Okay.
Or you can request approval for distribution before you get in the process on another label, distributor, or platform. That is not elf.tech.
So all you have to do is write the song.
Yeah. I guess. And upload it to Grimes' own streaming platform. That's enough from us this week.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week, and enough from us, but thanks for listening. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Let's go and go forth and listen to more music and chat to you all next week.
Bye
everyone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast. want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.